So the book of Jeremiah and the man of Jeremiah shows us a man who is faithful to the Lord in the midst of extreme situations. In fact, the Bible quite often gives us illustrations and examples of believers who were in the worst of situations, and how the Lord's greater than the worst of the situations you may be facing. He's more than sufficient for whatever you're facing. And he works things out for your good, our good. So we're in chapter 6. Concluding chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6, 21 through 30. All right, so here we have the preacher here, Jeremiah. And he was getting weary of warning the people. And we saw that back there in 6:10, as he was called to a very difficult will of God. Of course, the will of God is most difficult for us, and so we have to be faithful in the difficult will of God. If we have options, easy will of God or hard will of God, it's always the hardest, because that's when the Lord wants to try us and help us and work in our hearts and lives. He always has something good for us, so we're thankful for that. So Scripture says there in chapter 50, we have it on the wall there, you meant it unto me for evil, but I meant it unto you for good. So we have Joseph talking to his brothers there. All right, so anyway, here in 6:21 and following, we have the Jeremiah predicts the coming Babylonians. So he predicts the evil that's going to fall on the people. So there's been warning. So as we've seen here before, the Lord started everything out. There in Genesis, his whole plan was to have the city of Jerusalem as the ongoing city. He will have that fulfilled. The city of Jerusalem will be the place of worship for all those in the millennium. And the our heaven is called the New Jerusalem, where we go. So the saints that have gone on before us right now are in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Look at that. So that's the Lord's original plan for all mankind. Yet the physical New Jerusalem is about ready to be destroyed, but that didn't undo the Lord's ultimate plan and the reality of the New Jerusalem even back then. So anyway, here in this, Jeremiah had predicted before with emphasis that the people, fathers and sons together would fall, and be cast down. So that's in verse 15. And so we see that in verse 21. Let me read the passage. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, and the neighbor and his friend shall perish. And so the Lord has challenges before all of us in our life. And so when the challenges come up, are we going to take them on, trusting in the Lord, or stumble and fall back in sin? All right, the Lord said concerning the northern kingdom, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger. So the Lord used the rod. And in dealing with the northern kingdom, he used the Assyrians as his rod. And now he's dealing with the southern kingdom. And although we don't have that specific statement there, he's going to use the Babylonians as his rod to deal with Judah. So there in Isaiah 10:5, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger. So here he's going to use the Assyrian to deal with the northern kingdom. He had already done that by this time. And likewise, Babylon was the rod of God for the southern kingdom. And so the Lamentations is the lamenting of God using his rod on the southern kingdom. The goal of Jehovah was to have Israel to perish, as we see here. And now, in other passages, he has a believing remnant. So there is a believing remnant. But the nation that has rejected, and the leaders and so on, who have rejected him, will perish. And so we have the challenge that is given here. Now in 6:22 and 23, Scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. And they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion." So notice he likens Jerusalem as a daughter, a young lady who has gone astray here. And we saw that back there in 6:2. "I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman." So in this passage here is this innocent, delicate, comely young lady, and she's about ready to be ravished because of her sin. And so he likens it her that way. So in the commentary here, 6:22 and 23, "The invincible and cruel nation from the north would come upon Judah, O daughter of Zion." And so let's notice that language that's used here, Lamentations. So who wrote Lamentations? Jeremiah. So he says there in 4:22 of Lamentations, "The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion." So remember, Lamentations written after the southern kingdom fell. Jeremiah was written before the southern kingdom fell and during the fall, and Lamentations is written after the fall. So we have a history here. Before, during, and after in the scriptures here. So Lamentations was written by Jeremiah after there. And so in 4:22, "The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away in the captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sins." All right, so all the nations in the area would be dealt with, not only Jerusalem, but also Edom. All right, so the Lord used the wicked to destroy the wicked. Think of that. So here we have wicked Jerusalem, wicked Jews. And so he's going to use the wicked, who are far more wicked than the wicked Jews. Just like he used the wicked Assyrians, who are far more wicked than the wicked northern kingdom. So he uses the wicked to deal with the wicked. And the wicked that are dealing with the wicked are stronger than the wicked that are being dealt with. And it's brutal. And so we have that. So in like manner, Jehovah threatened Babylon with the Medo-Persian army. So somewhere along the line, Babylon's going to be dealt with. So Daniel already prophesied this. So we have the Syrians, we have the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, and the Grecians, and then the Romans. So we have a steady course of nation after nation taking the earlier one on. So that was predicted there. But here the Medo-Persians are going to come from the north. So notice the passage dealing with Babylon. This passage comes out of Jeremiah 50. "Behold, a people shall come from the north, a great nation. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel, and they will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like a sea. They shall ride upon horses, everyone put in array like a man to battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon." So here we have some of the same phraseology that we have in Jeremiah. And so the Lord has someone out there, a nation in this case, that is going to come and destroy another nation. This is the nature of mankind, destruction. This is the nation of God, or of Satan, rather, as he is the great destroyer, and he takes on God's plan and attempts to destroy it. And that's what we see. Satan is behind all destruction. Anything that falls apart is because Satan is behind it. "So the wicked armies of the ancient world murdered, maimed, and molested their enemies, including putting out their eyes." So let's look here in Jeremiah chapter 39. Jeremiah 39:7. This has to do with Zedekiah, King Zedekiah. He's the last king, Josiah's son. So notice here, 39:7. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. So can you imagine the having that done to you? Having your eyes put out? I suppose they just take a hot poker and stick it in your eyeball. So we're not talking about something pleasant here. All right? And that was what was coming. And burning in the furnace. Burning in the furnace. So let's look there in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And so here's, we're back to Zedekiah again. So here we see in 29:22, and of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah, he's the last king of the southern kingdom, and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. All right, can you imagine being roasted? So think of Zedekiah. He's blinded. He's already got his eyes poked out. And then he's going to be burned in a fire. So here the Lord's catching up with his wickedness. He was a wicked, wicked king. And so the Lord's going to use a wicked Babylonian nation and Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked man before he got saved. And so he personally wants to see Zedekiah's eyes put out. And then burnt in a fire. All right, so we have that. Also Daniel, remember the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel's three friends faced this. Daniel chapter 3 and the verse 17, 3:11 through 17. But let's pick it up there in 3:17. Or let's look at 3:16. So Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, so he's the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Those are brave words. They said they weren't careful to answer that. And so they had faith in the Lord. He could deliver them from the furnace. Now, they got that hope out of Isaiah 43. So I mentioned this before, but you can make these a connection. So notice there in Isaiah 43, verse 2. Isaiah 43, 2. So Isaiah is written before Jeremiah and Daniel and so on. So Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So here, these three friends of Daniel had a promise. They had a verse. And they could say, maybe we will be the ones that walk through the fire and they don't hurt us. He's promised us, and he's promised somebody will go through a fire and they won't be burned. Maybe it'll be us. So that's why they're saying this. That's why Daniel's friends are saying this, that they may be delivered by the Lord. So you could have a more challenging things, whatever challenges you right now, you might be given the threat of being thrown into a fire, having your eyes put out. Case of Zedekiah, he couldn't claim the verses because he's an unbeliever. But here are these three friends who are believers, so they could claim the verses, and the Lord did deliver them. Now, that doesn't mean he will deliver anybody else, but they had a promise in Scripture. They had a promise in Scripture, and so they recognize that. But here we see the the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Medo-Persians, they were all murderous people, tortured people. They were the worst of the worst. So they're cruel people. And so Jeremiah's warning the populace there in Jerusalem, things are going to happen here, and you're not going to enjoy them at all. You're not going to enjoy them at all. They were cruel, merciless, roaring, riding on horses set in array. So the scripture, when it says set in array, they'd be lined up. They'd be lined up, marching forward as a horizontal line, walking towards the enemy. Set in array, horizontal line approaching, expecting to degrade the opposition inhumanly. They shaved the hair of men and women and the beards of men. So let's look here, 48:37. Jeremiah is giving these details. 48:37. And every head shall be bald, and every beard clipped. Upon all the hands shall be cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. And so here, shaving everybody's head. And then stripped everyone naked. So they reduced people down to animals. That's what they want to do. They wanted to degrade them, dehumanize them. They treated them worse than animals, actually. So here I give you a verse out of Isaiah 20. So shall the king of Assyria, now this is Assyrians coming to the northern kingdom, but same principle. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. In fact, Isaiah, if you look at the verse before this, Isaiah was to walk around uncovered. To picture this. I mean, that's quite a calling for a prophet. But this is what they did. So they cut their hair off, cut their beards off, stripped them down, walked them around naked, barefoot, and mocked them and so on. This is the victims before they kill them. All right. Paraded the victims with fish lines and hooks. I mentioned this numerous times here. Amos 4:2 said that. And he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. So that would be really a terrifying prospect. And this is who's coming. This is what the Lord is going to do to you. You reject the Lord. You harden your heart towards the Lord. You get into sin and so on. And the Lord has something far worse than what you're going through. And I don't think from a human point of view it would be any worse. It'd be better to be killed than to have to go through this, you would think. But this is what he's promising there. All right, then verse 24 to 26. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and the fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for thine only son. Most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. So Jeremiah identified with the people. He says, we have heard this with the people, exclaimed about the coming inhuman brutality of the Babylonians. Cruel torture was nearby. The hands of men were feeble. And the anticipation of anguish and pain as a woman in travail. Jeremiah used this expression 7 out of 10 times in the Old Testament, woman in travail. A woman in her labor and so on, to paralyze the populace. Again, the southern kingdom chose and enjoyed the pleasures of their sin for a season. So you think of that. Let's look there in Hebrews. We're familiar with the passage, but we don't want to get over familiar. So Hebrews chapter 11. So 11:25, choosing rather, this is talking about Moses in this case, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So we all have old nature. We let that old nature rule in our life. We get into sin. We get into attitude, our mentality towards it. And it stems in our head and heart, and it comes out in our actions. Enjoy the pleasures of sin. Yes, there are pleasurable things to the old flesh. There's no question about it. And we've all experienced some of these things. Enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. But when the season ends, then there's real problems. So like now, what season are we in? So we're in late November. So is this still fall or is it winter yet? Yeah, I know the calendar is December 22nd is winter officially starts, but usually have snow before then. But seasons come and they go. And so we can enjoy our situation, our thinking, our behavior, or out of fellowship with the Lord, whatever it may be, for a season. But then the Lord steps in. So he allows us to go for a season. All right, if you don't break it off, then he'll break it off. If you don't end the season, he'll end the season. And it's better for you to end the season than him to end the season of the judgment that'll come. All right, so what were some of their pleasures? Baal worship, Astarte immortality, and sodomy. And you might say, well, that's not me. Okay, but what are the sins you enjoy for a season? What are they? Well, I'm not a sodomite. Okay, I'm okay. No, don't go that route. Follow that? But they could not choose their or enjoy their severe consequences of sin. You can enjoy your sin. You ever heard this? But you can't enjoy the consequences. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose the consequences. Consequences are coming. All right. So the prophet attempted to give advice for some who wanted to escape, encouraging them not to go into the fields, not to walk on the common roads and paths to avoid the armed guards. He used the expression, fear is on every side. So that's the Hebrew behind that is Magor Mesabib. All right. So that word in the Hebrew, it's translated fear on every side, but this expression, fear on every side, shows up in different places. First of all, it's found in David in Psalm 31:13. So David is writing about this. And he says there in verse 13, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. He's talking about when Absalom wanted to oust them from the kingdom. And so remember, he had to flee into the wilderness and in the dark there. He didn't know when somebody would show up and kill him. So fear was on every side. There's our Hebrew word behind that. The fear on every side. Can you imagine that? Fear on every side. And then we see it again in Jeremiah. So let's notice in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Here he's dealing with the high priest. This is when Pashur smote him. In verse 2, 20 verse 2. And Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks. Verse 3, and it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him. All right, so Jeremiah is indicating, the Lord has a nickname for you. The Lord gives nicknames. So I'm paraphrasing here, but the Lord has a nickname. The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Mesabib. What's that mean? So there's a Hebrew expression. What's that mean? Fear on every side. That's what it means. Fear on every side. So you're no longer Pashur. My nickname for you is Fear on Every Side. What's that mean to that priest? Well, he goes on to say, in later in the chapter, that the Lord was going to deal with him. And Pashur, so he's going to deal with Pashur. All right, so let's look further here in let's see. In verse 10. Yeah, verse 10. All right. So 20, verse 10. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for the halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. All right, so here we see the word shows up again. Then again, one other time here in 49:29, fear on every side. In this case, dealing with the Edomites, but he says their tents. And their flocks they shall take away, they shall take to themselves their curtains and all their vessels and their camels, and they shall cry unto them, fear is on every side. So here's the expression that's found numerous times in Jeremiah and the scriptures here, but this is the judgment the Lord's going to bring. So when people get out of the will of God, they start to sense of fear. They don't know why. I'm uncomfortable. But I fear something's going to happen. Well, that's the fear of God. Fear on every side. You get out of the will of God. In the will of God, you have peace. You get outside the will of God, you have fear. Because I'm not right with the Lord. I know something's going to happen. Something's going to come around the corner. I know it's there. And that develops in people. And so either have peace or you're going to have fear. In the will of God, you have peace. Out of the will of God, you have fear. This fear develops. So fear on every side. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? All right, then finally in verse 27 through 30, the Lord says to Jeremiah, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try thy way. So the word tower and try come from the same Hebrew root. And it has to do with examine, like examining metals. Examining metals. So watchtower would be one that would be looking out over there and examining what's going on out there. Do I see anything going on? So that's the examining part of it. But to try their way, has to do with trying metals, and that's what the next verse is going to bring out here. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder meldeth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver, or cast away silver, reprobate, cast away silver. Shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. So in the commentary on here, the prophet warned that the spoiler is coming soon. So we see that in verse 26. Gird the sackcloth, wallow in ashes, mourn as if lost the only son, bitter lamentations, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. So Jeremiah was saying, the spoiler is coming soon. Now we have a song where we say, the Lord is coming soon. That's our expectation. But for them, the spoiler is coming soon. And as he brings this out, suddenly. So Babylon is going to come suddenly. And they had better mourn sackcloth and ashes with bitterness as if their only son had died. The Lord likened Jeremiah to a tower. Bakan is the word there, to evaluate as a metal tester and try. Same root word here. One's a noun, one's a verb. The way of the people. Their way was as grievous revolters, revolting against the Lord, and likened to base metals of brass and iron with no refined silver. So in other words, the founder would like to, as he's looking at the metal and heating the metal and so on, he'd like to find some metal of worth. But the idea is all the metal he finds is worthless. It's base brass and iron, no silver. In the imagery of a founder with the heat of the fire, he looks for pure silver and rejects reprobate or castaway silver as the Lord rejected the people. So the Lord's bringing them through a fire. And who's going to trust him? Where's the believing remnant that's going to trust him? Because he's rejected the nation, but he's looking for some believing remnant. So where are they? And so the Lord takes us through through fires in our life and so on. So he's looking to see what's going to come out. How are we going to come out? He's refining us. So we have challenges in our life. We need to keep our hearts right, have a right attitude, know how well we fit into God's will and so on. And want to serve the Lord, be faithful to him, and so on, so that the spoiler doesn't come into our life. Because the Lord knows what we're doing, where we are. He knows our hearts, and he knows when we are right with him and when we're not right with him. And so he wants to deal with us, and he wants to bring us forth as what? Gold. He wants to bring us forth as gold. But you don't go through the fire without coming out as gold. And that's what he's interested in. So that's the analogy that we have here. And this is what the Lord wants with his people back then, but it's true today. That's what he wants with his people today. Our Father, we pray that you bless us. We thank you for the opportunity to open the Word of God. We thank the message for the message of Jeremiah given to us about 2,700 years ago. Help us to take it to heart. Pray that you help us to make the application in our own heart and life. Bless each one here. Bless in the prayer time now, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.